Welcome to the Embodied Love Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Grant. In this show, we'll be exploring all things love, relationships, and the creative fulfillment of living a life on purpose. If you're someone who wants to leave this world a little better and really make the most out of your human experience, you're a creative, a lover, a human who is here to embody the full essence of love, this podcast is for you. Join me for conversations about the real stories, lessons, and mistakes that make up a life well-lived and a human well-loved. Let's dive in. Hello. Welcome back to the podcast. Gosh, it has been a while. I feel like I kind of start every episode like that these days because life has just been lifing. And what I thought this year was going to look like has been nothing like what it's looked like. And isn't that just how it goes? And so I've been really riding this energy and following the flow and where it wants to direct me. And I think we've finally kind of found the pocket and the groove and where we're going to take the rest of the year. But I could be totally wrong. I could be getting another curveball down the timeline here, and maybe I'll be taking another twist and turn as the year continues. But for now, we're here. And I wanted to drop in, give y'all a little update, and also what you can expect going forward, because I don't love that I just kind of ghosted you. And I really want to kind of give you context of what I've been up to, what's going to be coming down the pipeline, what you can expect. And it really fits with this additional theme that I want to talk about today, which is living an unconventional life. And when we are calling in big, epic love, or we want to transform our current relationship to be one where big love is welcome inside of it and all your needs are met and all of that good, juicy stuff, you have to be willing to walk a more unconventional path to get to that destination. So these two things kind of fit hand in hand, because I am someone who has been walking a very unconventional path for quite some time. Basically, since I moved to Vancouver in 2009, my life has not looked like what a conventional woman in her late 20s would be doing with her life. And quite frankly, I wouldn't change a fucking thing. When I look back on these last 14 years, and it's wild that it's been 14 years, it does not feel like it's been that long, but it has been. And there are so many different versions of me that I have been, and so many different layers of myself that I've had the privilege to explore and get to know. And there's also, you know, the flip side of that, which, you know, living a very unconventional life means sometimes being wildly misunderstood. It can be a little lonely sometimes. And, you know, and it's not the sense of loneliness that I don't have people around, but it's more the loneliness of not being deeply understood and deeply known. And I feel that level of intimacy with my close friends and with my inner circle, because we're all walking a very unconventional path. And our unconventional paths, they look unique to us, but they all kind of fit under that same umbrella of we are doing things really fucking different. And there is something to be said about finding people who are also committed to that path. You know, if you're someone who knows you are here to do big things, you know that you weren't made for mediocre love, you know that you aren't here to just fucking get by, then there is an element of you that is also under that unconventional umbrella. And if you're surrounded by conventional people, you are going to feel really weird about that, probably. You're probably going to feel a little out of sorts. It's like kind of hard to kind of catch your groove or your vibe when you're around people who are like, what are you doing? That's fucking weird. Just be fucking normal. And part of the judgment of the unconventional path is, you know, I really believe that a lot of people are really meant to be living a more unconventional existence. However, they're so tangled in their conditioning. And also, it takes a lot of fucking courage to step onto this path and stay on it. Because you're not following a detailed map. You're literally having to make it up as you go. And that can be really, really confronting to the parts of us that want safety and security and certainty. That they're really going to be in conflict with that truer voice of the soul. And so it really does help to be surrounded by people who may not be walking the exact same path as you, but they're walking a compatible path. They understand what it's like to be off the beaten path. They understand what it's like to kind of see beyond the veil or see through the matrix, so to speak. And they also feel this deeper calling for more. You know, I think a lot of people settle in flatlined relationships, in flatlined jobs, in a life that is comfortable, but it's not enriching, it's not fulfilling. And the more we stay plugged in there, the less and less alive we start to feel in our lives. And then we have to do these things to kind of juice up the energy and the vibes. And sometimes those can be very destructive patterns or behaviors because we just want to fucking feel something. And for me, being on this more unconventional path, I've also noticed this beautiful transformation in those types of patterns, because walking a path like this, well, it'll keep you on your toes. That's for sure. There's literally never a dull moment when walking this path. I don't even know what's going to happen day to day. I have an idea of where I would like to go. I have an idea of what I would like to create. But sometimes my soul has a different plan and has a different agenda. And ultimately, my purpose is to be in service to love, to be a vehicle for the expression of love. That's why I was put on this fucking planet. And I get to express that purpose no matter what I'm doing. So even if I wasn't doing the work that I am doing, I would still have an access point to being an expression of my purpose. Because my purpose is not necessarily tied to the work I do, but it is entangled, it is connected. And I couldn't imagine doing work where I was not also serving my purpose. That seems a little strange to me, only because I'm on this more unconventional path. You know, if I was walking a more conventional path, then it would probably make a lot of sense to have, you know, what I do for work not necessarily be a direct link to the expression of my purpose, but I would still be able to express my purpose inside of that job or inside of that career, because it has more to do with ways of being and ways that I'm showing up and interacting than it has to do with a specific task. And walking this more unconventional life, I've gotten schooled many, many times in this, And also, I've had no shortage of opportunities to embody that purpose, that reason for being, that reason that I'm here. And I love that. And again, like, it can be really challenging when you're around people who don't get it, or they don't have a deeper sense of purpose or meaning or significance to their life. They're just kind of going through the motions. And this is why it's so important to take regular stock of your relationships and the people that you keep close, because ultimately they do inform where you go and who you become. And so if you have people in your corner who not only see you, but they want more of you online, you know, they want more of those masks to come off. They want more of your conditioning to just fall away. They want to see the truth behind all of that conditioning, all of those coping mechanisms, all of those paradigms that you have inherited, that you've taken on, that aren't the truth of who you are, but they've become who you know yourself to be. And when you have people who ask more of you, who want more of you, who will challenge you to become the most honest version of yourself, well, that's when you're really going to start to get in that fucking pocket of fulfillment, because we don't grow inside of our comfort zone. We don't grow by being complacent with our life, complacent with our relationships. How often does that happen? You know, people get into a relationship and they're like, great, the work is done. Perfect. I got my person, so I never have to put effort in again. And I'd say this is the majority of relationships, actually. The majority of people in relationships have a set it and forget it kind of mentality. They think all of the work is getting into the relationship, and once you're in the relationship, it should just work. But it doesn't. That's literally just the beginning. That is just the beginning. And if you want to keep that relationship thriving, you will have to recreate yourself again and again and again. You will have to recreate that relationship again and again and again. You will have to meet your person again and again and again. You will have to, I think the saying goes, like, attend 1,000 funerals of the person that they used to be, but also step into exploring the thousands of new people that they will become. And to me, I find that so exciting. I love that because it keeps the relationship alive. There's a heartbeat to it. But it also requires regular attunement, regular effort, regular maintenance. You can't just set it and forget it. And so again, like, if you want big fucking love, you have to be willing to approach relationships from this more unconventional place. The conventional path with relationships is set it and forget it. Well, once I'm there, that's all I have to do. I shouldn't have to really do much more. They should just know what I need. I shouldn't have to advocate for myself. I shouldn't have to express my needs. I shouldn't have to set boundaries. We shouldn't have to navigate conflict, because if we have to do all of that, it must mean that there's something wrong. Now, of course, if you're constantly fighting and you don't actually like each other, or if there are fundamental needs that just aren't being met inside of that connection and they haven't ever, that's different than, you know, just the regular scheduled maintenance on a connection and the regular effort that needs to be put in by both people in order to keep the ship afloat. And not just afloat, but, like, we want the ship to be in pristine condition. We want it to be sailing into these exotic locations and adventuring and exploring. But you can't go on an adventure in your relationship if the boat has fucking holes in it and there's like the sails are ripped to shreds and there's no captain. And you hit a fucking iceberg and you go down like the Titanic, right? That's how most relationships are. And it honestly like makes me so sad to see that, because I also know what's possible inside of more conscious relationships. And, you know, having a conscious relationship isn't just about the romantic relationships. In order to have a conscious romantic relationship, you have to have conscious relationships in your life. You need to know how to do that just on a baseline of a platonic connection. If you do not know how to build a connection intentionally, if you do not know how to communicate intentionally, if you do not know how to be responsible for your shit and your projections and all the undigested emotional debris that lies in your closet, in your psyche, if you don't know how to set the container, because most relational containers, they're not set intentionally. There's no kind of ground rules. There's no agreements. There's no containment. And without containment, things get chaotic. And this is required for every single type of relationship that you have. Without agreements, nobody knows where the line is. Nobody knows where they stand. Nobody knows what the rules of the game are. And what I love about this is that every relationship you're in, platonic or otherwise, you get to play a very unique game inside of that relationship. No two relationships are ever the same, which means no two relational agreements will ever be the same. You might have a lot of consistency in terms of certain standards that show up across the board, but no two people are the same. So when you bring two unique people together, what that relational container requires will be unique to those two people. And if we don't have the consciousness and the awareness to be able to have these conversations and construct the containment intentionally, well, those relationships can start to fall apart really fast. Then there's a lot of room for misunderstanding, miscommunication, and things can fall apart. And then you actually have to do more cleanup. You actually have to do more conflict management because we're not doing that work up front proactively. And here's a little, you know, side note on communication. Like, yes, having hard conversations is hard. But when you have them proactively, it actually prevents a lot of drama, chaos, conflict, tension in the future. So you actually don't have to clean any of that up because it doesn't actually end up happening, because you've proactively set the container. You've proactively had the conversation. Most people are more reactive in the way that they do life and do relationships. They're kind of behind the eight ball. They aren't being super intentional with how they're showing up to their life and to their relational containers. And so it always feels like they're kind of one step behind, you know, or they're scrambling, or they're having to be reactive because there's been, you know, a mess that's been made. And then we feel the compression around that. And sometimes that can really trigger a lot of our old stuff. So now you're up against not only having to do cleanup in aisle five in that relationship, but you also are up against your own undigested emotional debris, your wounding, your trauma, whatever has gotten activated there. And you're going to have to sift through all of that so that you don't project it onto the other person and onto the relational dynamic. And then you also still have to deal with what's there to deal with. So the more profound move is to learn how to have those conversations masterfully, to really be bold in your relationships and bold in your communication and bold in your life, bold in love, because the thing about love is that it's pretty high stakes. I think we all can agree on that. You know, you meet someone, you like them, you start to kind of get little inklings of like, oh, maybe this could be something. And so if you're not well practiced in, you know, navigating these conversations proactively, bringing your intentions out into the open, having those tough conversations up front, if you can't do that in your platonic connections, it's going to be really fucking hard to do that in a higher stakes environment. And the higher stakes environment is any environment where you could get rejected, where there's always a possibility that you are one conversation away from never talking again. But that's the risk of love. That's the risk of relating. There's no fucking guarantee. And even when you like someone and they like you back, that doesn't guarantee a relationship. It doesn't guarantee that anything is going to happen or should happen there. And we find that kind of flow, that pocket of alignment, when we're willing to navigate these stickier spots or these conversations that may feel confronting at the time, but ultimately create more ease. Life gets a lot smoother. Love gets a lot smoother. And it's so much easier to suss out actual relational alignment when we're being brave, when we're being bold, and we're walking that more unconventional path where we're not just going to let it happen on default. We're not just going to like loosey-goosey, like let's see what happens. Like, I think that's kind of the sign of like someone who is on that more conventional path. And if you're dating right now and you're on the unconventional path, keep an eye out for this, because someone who's like, let's just like see how it goes and like, let's have like no intentionality here, which is usually like someone will say like, we have like no expectations or like, let's just like go with the flow. Okay. You want to go with the flow. Let that flow take you over there on the conventional path, but it's not going to be flowing with me. Because if you are on the more unconventional path and you're up to big shit in your life, you can't be fucking around with people who are unintentional. And the same is true if you are really clear about who you are and what you want for yourself in your life, and like you've got your mission that you're on. And this is always the test when you're on that path. And I've been tested so many fucking times on this. And at first, when I was getting tested in this way, I failed miserably because I would always be like, yeah, but they're so hot, but they're such a great kisser, or like, oh my God, the sex is amazing. Yeah, but their life is a dumpster fire. If someone doesn't know who they are and what they want their life to look like, if they don't have a vision for themselves in their life, and you have a vision for yourself in your life, that makes it a non-starter, because you're already on two very different playing fields. And what you're going to have to do as someone who has the vision is you are going to have to gear down and fucking pump the brakes and wait for them to catch the fuck up. And that's not going to serve your mission. That's not going to be in service to what you're here to create, what you're here to do. So the better move is to align with people who are already living and on purpose with their mission. You know, they're doing, and they don't have to be like a fucking millionaire, you know, but they've got to be connected to the thing that they want to be doing. And they have to be doing it. You know, and this was something that, like a spot that can be really tricky to navigate, because Someone might know what they want for themselves in their life, but if they aren't taking action towards it, it's just a fucking pipe dream. They're not yet committed to that path. And again, you're going to find yourself in that same sticky situation of waiting for them to catch up. And that's not fair for them. It's not fair for you, because ultimately the process of someone kind of getting on course with that is a very unique one, and it takes the time that it takes. It can't be rushed. It shouldn't be rushed. And, you know, having external pressure from someone that you're dating to kind of get there, it doesn't actually help them get there. And it doesn't support you in doing what you're supposed to do, because you're too busy kind of tending to everything that they have to manage. And you're way better off to stay focused on your mission, to stay focused on your purpose, and let that carry you in a certain direction where you're inevitably going to meet more people who are playing at that same level. And when you meet people who are playing at that same level, you're inevitably going to meet someone that you like, who likes you back, and who you're in compatible stages of your life. And people forget about this when it comes to dating. It's like you have to be in a compatible stage of your life. And if you're not, like, that's going to be fucking torture on both people. It's not fair to either of you. And so if you are, you know, on the unconventional path, well, you've got to walk that path, and you got to be willing to align yourself relationally, both platonically and romantically, with people who are also walking that path, who are devoted, who are in the action, who are doing what they need to do, who are literally creating their life intentionally, not living life on default, not just letting life happen to them and hoping for the fucking best. Because if you are living life on default and just hoping for the fucking best, well, the best will never happen. Because the best is something that you intentionally create. It's something that requires you to go all in first. It requires you to take that leap of faith, to take that action that parts of you, the parts that want certainty, safety, security, those parts are going to freak the fuck out. They're going to be like, no, stay where it's familiar, stay where it's comfortable. And there's always a cost to that. And the cost is your vitality. The cost is your happiness. The cost is your fulfillment. And sometimes there are other costs associated as well when we're staying in spaces, we're staying in relationships, we're staying in careers, we're staying in, you know, just chapters of our life that we've outgrown. You're often also going to have a lot of energetic and emotional feedback on that, meaning a fuck ton of anxiety, overwhelm, overthinking. Your body might even start feeding back to you with like pain or sickness. It might shut down in other ways. And this is like all the body and the spirit tag teaming, being like, yo, we need to like give them some really clear signals here, because staying here is not in service anymore. And we need to kind of make it uncomfortable enough so that they'll fucking move. And I'm someone who often requires a lot of compression, a lot of like pressure. It's got to be really fucking uncomfortable, and then I'm going to make a move. I've gotten better at this over the years, but it's still something that can be a challenge for me. Like, I can tolerate a lot of discomfort, and that has had me stay in relationships that have long since expired, or in projects, or in businesses, or in just situations that aren't really good for me. And so I want to share that with you in case you're in a very similar spot and you're like, ugh, fuck. I know I gotta make a change. And I know I have to make some big moves. And there are parts of me that are fucking terrified. And there are parts of me that feel so energized by those changes and those possibilities. And for me, like, I've been in a pocket like that for the last little while. You know, I did do a huge overhaul to my business a couple years ago, and I'm really proud of the curriculums and the content and the teachings that I have developed. And yet I have been feeling this deep, deep, deep desire for partnership, both romantically, but also in the workspace. Like, I've been just craving collaborations and wanting to not have to lone wolf it and do it all myself. And over Christmas, an opportunity presented itself for me to step into collaboration on this project called The Creators. And I took it. And I've been diving into that whole world and kind of exploring where I fit and in what degree we're going to collaborate. And we finally kind of found our pocket and our groove recently. And it started off as this writing collective where, you know, people who are writers or people who just want to write and write themselves alive could come and express themselves. And, you know, if you have a journal practice, like, you can come and play. And it's like transformed into this collective of people who are literally creating themselves alive and on purpose and using the vehicle of art and expression to do that. And every month I get to go in and teach a workshop inside of this container and be with this incredible group of creatives and creators and people who, you know, maybe never really identified as an artist or a creative, but they're finding those pockets and those pieces of themselves. And they're being so bold and so brave to share that with the world, even if it's just sharing it within the collective. It's really special to see these different expressions come out. You know, there's musicians in there, there's painters, there's dancers, there's writers, there's musicians, like, there's all sorts of different expressions that we're seeing pop up in this container. And to be able to go in and teach and weave my relational expertise and kind of merge it with the theme of the month is really fucking cool. And it feels really enriching to be able to still get to play in the relational realm and working with embodiment and my embodiment method, but also, like, bringing in this energetic of creativity. Because obviously, as a singer, as a musician, as a songwriter, creativity is such a huge thing for me. In human design, I'm a manifesting generator, which essentially means I have the energy of 1,000 suns. I have a lot of creative energy. And if I don't have an outlet to direct it and express it, it can get really gnarly because that creative energy has to go somewhere. So if I'm not directing it in a creative capacity, well, that creative energy stirs up all sorts of stories. It will go in the direction of, like, worst case scenario thinking. It'll try and fucking take down my life. And again, like, living on purpose and being connected to such a deep sense of purpose, I cannot take that risk. That is far too high of a cost. And so I do need these different avenues to express my creative energy and to be able to teach in this capacity has been so beautiful. And, you know, in tandem with that, you may have seen on my Instagram, or if you're on my newsletter, me talking about this new project called Club Unhinged. And this was something that literally just kind of came out of nowhere. And me and my best friend, Christine, we had this idea in March to begin a podcast where we just like get on and say the most unhinged shit. And like we like really riff off each other well. And we're a fucking vibe when we get together. We just bring out this playful, silly, fully expressed side of each other. And we're like, we got to do something together. Like, and the funny thing is her and I have been collaborating since last summer. And we had also been trying to do this collaboration with some of our friends, and it just was not working. It wasn't working. The women are fucking great. They're bosses. They're incredible in their respective rights and in the work that they do. But it was just the combination, the thing that we were trying to build, it wasn't clicking. And so we decided to just keep collaborating, the two of us, and do these like one-off masterclasses where we would get on and we would teach. And we were just having such a blast with that. And so we decided, hey, like we'd probably be pretty good podcast hosts together. And we'd also been feeling like we needed to inject some more life into our business world and the work that we were doing. And so what started as just a podcast project turned into this whole new business that's been built in, you know, I guess it's been almost 2 months now. And we were at our friend's kid's birthday party in the middle of March. And her and I are just having this fucking unhinged conversation on the back deck, laughing like hyenas, just being ridiculous, being in our own little world. And slowly but surely, that energy starts magnetizing our friends. And all of a sudden, like all of our guy friends are kicking it with us. And everybody's laughing. Everybody's being ridiculous. Everybody is saying the shit that they actually think and feel. Uncensored. Unapologetic. It was a vibe. There's this electric energy. Everyone, you could see the life force come back on. You could see the light come back on. And it reminded me of when that group of friends originally came together. You know, I think it was like 2012 that we all met, and like there was still like this very youthful, like we hadn't gone through a ton of like hard initiations yet with our businesses and our relationships, and very, very optimistic, possibility oriented. And it was a return to that energy. And all of a sudden, this energy kind of starts moving us into deeper conversations that turn into a mastermind. We're standing on the back deck masterminding this project, this idea, this business. And the best part is that these are like the best marketing minds, money minds, business minds, relationship minds in the industry. And we're all kicking it together and like weaving this new project into form. And the thing about me is that I'm someone who will take action fast. Like when something is aligned, I will take action on it very, very quickly. And because I have the energy of 1,000 suns, I can make a lot of things happen very quickly when I am in alignment. And this just felt so right. And within a week, we had launched a webinar and we sold, you know, our offer, and we built a membership site and we launched this business. And we've had a month in the club. It's called Club Unhinged. And already the women inside of this club, you can just see the same thing happening. The lights are coming back on. The life force is coming back. There's this permission to be in their most authentic, uninhibited self-expression. And that's ultimately what that project's in service to. It's in service to the liberation of your most unapologetic expression. And, you know, unhinging yourself from the shackles that have bound you, unhinging from the paradigms, the ideas, the beliefs that have kept you bound and kept you quiet, kept you, you know, keeping the peace, kept you in relationships that you should have left a long time ago, kept you in a career that sucks your fucking soul, keeps you in a body that, you know, it doesn't feel so great to be in. And so this project, this container, this offering has become this huge permission slip to reclaim that unapologetic self-expression, reclaim authenticity and like what authenticity means specifically for you and how that ultimately looks so different for everybody. Like Christine and I are totally off the fucking wall and, you know, our language is very polarizing. Our presence is very polarizing. You either love us or you don't. And that's fine. We are okay with that. And we also recognize that each person's unapologetic, authentic expression is going to be unique to them. We're not here to make carbon copies of ourselves. We're not like going off the rails and like blowing up our lives. That's not what Club Unhinged is all about. Like, yes, go and live your life unapologetically. And like, let's be intentional with what that means and have that align with the person that you truly are. And so, you know, that's what has been cooking on the back end, along with, you know, all the music that Corey and I continue to write with all of our collaborators and the music that we produce and publish ourselves and working in that realm too. So there's this whole other side of music where, you know, we're writing for other artists. We are collaborating with other songwriters and other creators around the world, writing for film and TV. Like there's this very cool creative project that I get to immerse myself into. And the best part about all three of these projects and continuing to do like my relational work on the back end is that now it feels like all parts of me are being fed. Now it feels like I've got the thing that I needed to get, which was that collaboration, that connection, the partnership, the I don't want to do this all by myself anymore. Because 14 years of being in this industry, in this business, coaching people, running my business and doing it very lone wolfy, there's been so much that I've learned from that, but there's also been a huge cost to that. And in stepping into these collaborations, because all three of them are collaborations, and I get to explore different facets of myself, and I get to see just how much this relational work and this emotional work has integrated into my being, because navigating partnership in that regard requires something bigger of me. I can't just run on default settings. I can't just, you know, have a little fucking temper tantrum and do it all my way. Like there has to be this energy of collaboration and consideration and generosity and co-creation and creativity, like all of these things that actually bring me to life, that are actually my core values. They get to be embodied every single day inside of these projects, which feels so special. And, you know, all of that to say, I'm not ditching my podcast. I'm going to be here. And also, we're probably going to go down to like one or two episodes a month, but they'll be like nice, juicy, power-packed ones like this. And if you're like, oh, I really loved the weekly podcast, well, don't worry, because Club Unhinged also has a podcast, and it's literally called Club Unhinged, the podcast. And we release weekly episodes there. And the titles are hilarious, and the conversation is a wild ride. We go from being totally unhinged and ridiculous to like really deep and serious. And that's kind of us in a nutshell. We hold these polarizing energies within ourselves really well, and we have approval for all parts of ourselves. And it comes out in that podcast. It comes out in how it's presented. And, you know, it's our invitation to the world to reclaim their own expression, like for you to reclaim your expression, however that looks. And if we can do it, you can do it. And, you know, if we can make these big moves and these, you know, hard conversations and make these big tectonic changes in our life and in our business and in our relationships, you can too. And we want to see that for you. I want to see that for you. And I also really do see the value in this relational work. And going forward, I will still take on, you know, a couple one-to-ones. And I will be merging the majority of my relational work into Club Unhinged. So inside of that container, there is a whole library of courses and content, and from both me and Christine, my work is largely relational and emotional. So a lot of my emotional intimacy work, sex, love, relationships, that's what I'm bringing to the table. And Christine is very much on the business, money, spirituality, purpose, manifestation track. So her body of work really covers all of those domains. And then we merge them together in these immaculate libraries, and then have monthly coaching calls and teaching calls and webinars and all the things. So if you would like to come play over in Club Unhinged, I will put those links in the show notes. If you were like, when you were talking about the creators, like that feels like where I want to be. I want to explore my creative edge, and I want to explore my creative expression and be around a group of people like that. I will also put that in the show notes, and I'll link it to the tier that I teach in. I'm teaching in tier two in that project. And of course, if you would like to do the deeper relational work and just have that be the focus, I will link to the one-to-one application, and you can hop in, send me your application. If that feels out of range financially, we can look at you coming into the relational container that I hold. It's the only one that I offer now. And if you'd like to come and play there, we can probably sort that out. Okay. I think that's all I needed to say today. I can't think of anything else that needs to come through right now, aside from, you know, I'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode. And until then, you can get caught up on the Club Unhinged episodes. We've got 4 out so far. And we also have a free webinar this Saturday, May 11th. It's called Bringing Sexy Back, and we're talking about really reclaiming that sexual life force creative energy so that you can go out into your life and create it really powerfully, really masterfully. And my workshop inside of the creators this month is being bold in love. So bold action, bold communication. We're going to talk about all of it, and I'm teaching an embodiment class alongside with it. So all of that is available for you if you'd like to come play. And if not, thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient with me. I love you, and I'm excited to see what the next quarter of this year brings through for me, for you, and everything that we've got cooking up. Okay, I'll talk to you soon, friends. Bye.